It's Tame Podcast with Stephanie.
And Shelby.
Well, we're just here hanging out at my house. December 2nd.
It is already December. Holy cow.
I know.
We are, 4 months into having Tame Building open its doors in mid-August.
That blows my mind.
Wild.
So, a few months ago, guys, I don't know if you guys know what Tame Wellness is. If this is your first time tuning in, we're a community center where we do all kinds of fun activities, donation-based, most of them. And we do all kinds of yoga, breath work, meditation, art, talk groups.
You name it. We'll put it on the calendar.
Right.
We just had a friend from Peru step up and wants to hold some Spanish conversational groups. So we're going to get together and speak some Spanish or English.
Yeah. That's exciting.
It's going to be fun. Integrate more people from the community together. And that's our main mission, because connection is the opposite of addiction.
Yeah. We just, like she said, we got a building donated to us a few months ago, and we sparked up in the beautiful county of Grand County.
Right in the heart of the town, in right off Highway 40 there. So this building, we've been able to create some pretty cool events and activities. We did a big Friendsgiving, had 30 plus people come, and then we were able to continue to feed people the day after, handing out food in Denver out the window to homeless people. And Stephanie brought food to the employees
at the resort.
And
the Hungry Lifties brought a bunch of food to the Hungry Lifties. So yeah, it was awesome. We had so many people. I think 90% of the people I had never met before. We had talked about it last podcast. We had our first guest.
Yeah.
Last podcast. That was exciting.
Gabe came on and it was amazing. And we had such a blast talking to him. And now just more people are stepping up wanting to get on board and talk with us. So it's really cool.
We can't wait to have guests on.
Mm, it's fun. And it's not that scary.
So yeah, visit our website. It's www.tamegrandcounty.org. We also have a Facebook page, which is at b.tame LLC, and then also that's an Instagram too.
Yeah, so check us out.
Check us out. Follow us.
We got some fun stuff, and then we just wanted to talk a little bit tonight about early recovery and gaining self-awareness over those actions, because this far along into our recovery journey, it's hard to remember each of those things that you are faced with.
I think it's so important to track those things.
Mm.
I remember in early recovery that I was like, I'm going to take a picture every day. And I wish I would have stuck to that, because I looked so crappy that I couldn't take a picture without a filter. So it wasn't real.
Yeah.
And I really wish I would have just taken a picture every single day until I got clean. That would have been remarkable.
Those progressions are so impactful, and I have one that I refer back to a lot, actually, when I'm getting super confident or I'm maybe slipping or thinking about using again. In one of my lowest points, darkest days, when I was at the top of my suicidal ideation and just wanting to kill myself, I recorded a video of that moment.
Wow.
And I was just talking to the camera I can't get out of bed. I can't do anything. This is not life, you know? And I just talked about my situation and where I was. I was living in Key West and I was living in paradise and I couldn't be happy there even. And it was just this video. It's about 12 minutes long. And it's one of the most powerful reminders I have of how far I've come. And I tell people all the time that I'm working with right now, write yourself a letter or write yourself, record a video, record a voice memo, whatever you need to do, but refer back to this moment, because the power of progress is everything to a recovering person.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like to take pictures when I was high, but now the few pictures that I have when I was high, I look back at them and I'm like, blown away. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know, you don't realize how bad you actually look. You don't realize how much water you are actually retaining when you're drinking, or when you're shooting meth, how much of a skeleton you look like.
Yeah.
You don't get it. You like, you think you look like hot shit at the time.
I go through my old Facebook pictures and I'm embarrassed, like, that I posted something that I thought I looked decent in, and it's written all over my face, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely look back at times and I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember taking that picture and I was really fucked up.
And then the power of journaling and writing and just keeping track, if only for yourself, and only for yourself, but to be able to reread those entries years later even. I've come across some journals that I was, that I had to take while I was in rehab both times. In the journals and what I was writing, you know, 10 years ago in that addiction cycle over and over, was the same things I was writing, you know, 10 years later before I got clean again. And it's so, you can see these patterns in yourself, and it's powerful, the awareness.
To keep track of that stuff is just powerful. Like you said, going back and being like, okay, I felt like this at this point, and I got over that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was at this the lowest point at this point, but look, I overcame that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember my ex, I would write, I've talked about this, I would write a little bit at a time when I was mad at him, and I still have that letter. And now looking back at it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a stronger chick. You know what I mean? Like, I would never put up with that shit now.
Yeah.
You know? Reading the things that I had, I kind of like just wrote him a letter and never gave it to him. You know, but it would get it out of me. And now reading those things, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I would have left a long time ago. And your strength shows in your journals when you look back, because you overcame those challenges. You overcame all those days that you thought were like so crappy. And now I actually I'm trying to train my brain not to ever be like, I can't wait for this day to be over. Because I hear people say that. I'm like, oh, yeah, this day's almost, it's almost there. We're almost there. We're almost over. Because they're just waiting for time to pass. And they're waiting for the day to be over. And I'm like, wait, this is my life. Like, the time that we're waiting, like, oh my gosh, I wish this day would just be over so I could go home and sit on my couch. Like, no, that's literally our life.
It's the journey, not the destination.
Yes.
In that saying, or that, I can't remember who said it in this moment, but just that forever is composed of a million nows.
Yes,
I love that. And so if you start rooting into how you feel moment by moment, you can start shedding these different perspectives that we have, especially rooted in addiction, where the main source is trying to escape or hide or shut down from our internal reactions to things. And so as we learn to sit with these uncomfortable feelings and emotions in recovery in the first you know, few hours, minutes, days of getting sober. And if you're able to sit with these feelings and quiet them and calm them and overcome them, each time that it comes back, you're a little stronger. And you just have to remember that each time you make it through that miserable time, that time of misery becomes shorter and shorter as you get stronger and stronger. And so you want to stick with that momentum. And that's why it's important to keep journaling or take video memos or whatever you need to do. Or have a good friend to check you once a week. If you can't afford a therapist, have someone who can mirror you really easily.
Hey, that sucks.
Yeah.
If you don't have a friend out there that you want to get sober and you would like to have somebody check up on you, to call you every day, and to just like help you keep accountability, we're here. My phone number is 480-253-2158. And anybody can call me at any time, day or night, if they're struggling.
And if she can't answer, I'm available as well. My phone number, 970-964-7959. You can get all our information on Facebook, on our webpage. Send us an email if that's more comfortable. There's ways to send us anonymous emails if you make we can keep things confidential. We can keep things at your pace, but we're just here to help you. It's a sober friend. It's a sober support.
and we have more people that are also interested in this. So we're creating a network of people who are there to reach out, because friends and family aren't always available and they aren't always our best mirror. So it's not always best to keep looking at yourself from the same reflection. You need to change that sometimes. And it's nice to have people who you know can listen to you and be empathetic. And we have a fresh set of eyes on you, you know?
So, like, I love the MA program, but at the same time, I don't agree with some of the things. And part of the NA program and the AA program is sponsorship. And it's basically somebody that you can call, you know, when you're going through a hard time, and that basically knows everything about your story and that you have confided in, and is there for you. So if you need something like that, we are here for you.
Happy to do it. And we both are already doing that for a few individuals. And so even though groups are still a little small and all that, we are working a lot of one-on-one and almost full-time there. And so the things that I keep hearing over and over right now are just, you know, how do I know it's going to get better? Or I've quit before, but nothing changed. Like, why would I keep doing this? Why would I stick to this? And I think Stephanie has a really powerful story that goes along with that of just, you know, when you got sober and things got shittier, what kept you sober?
To be honest with you, routine kept me sober, because I just like stuck to my job. I feel like having a job is so important, mm-hmm. but especially when you get clean, because for me, I did different things to get money. I didn't ever like really work and go to a 9-to-5. And so getting clean and actually having a routine and having to get up at a specific time every single day and having to be there for a specific time every day and then going home and eating and then being too tired to go out, being too tired to go party with anybody. Well, I didn't know anybody. Also, like, I had a very traumatic experience right after I got clean. I was actually homeless when I was clean. And I knew that I could have just gone back to Arizona or Kansas at any point and just go back to what I was comfortable with, which was being high. And I'm sure you felt that at one point too.
A lot of times.
You can go back to being drunk and everything would be okay again. Everything would be numbed.
Yep.
And you could go back to the life that you were living for so long and try, instead of trying something new, which was getting sober.
And one of the most important things that I've come to realize on this journey is that every time you start to get into that really deep, dark time of struggle again, when things just, you know, you're staying sober, but you feel like there's just one roadblock after another, and I like to look at these as lessons, and they're little tests. And if you pass the test, there's usually like 4, 5, 6 in a row. And you just got to keep overcoming them. And once you do, all of a sudden it's like you up level and your whole being changes again. And you're like, okay. And you're good for another few months. And then like all of a sudden, it's like you keep coming around in circles. And if you pass the test, you go up. And if you don't, you're going to keep revisiting it.
There's so many of those little tests. Like I remember for sure, like we ran out of money and we didn't have a place to live. To stay, and we had to camp again by Dillon Lake. We had to camp at Lake Dillon in Frisco, and it was like October, and I was in the car because I was too cold to sleep in the tent, and I'm like, we could go back at any time, like what are we doing, you know, like what is wrong with us, why are we putting ourselves through this, like, and you're not numbing that pain of being homeless because you're sober, you're clean, and yeah, those little tests of like not having any money, not having any food, mm-hmm. and being completely sober, because that stuff is easy when you're high.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that so many people live on the streets right now, and most of the people, I'll say, I'm ballparking it, I'm saying like 3/4 of them are high or on alcohol, because they're numbing the pain of the situation that they are in, okay? And when you're going through trials and tribulations sober and clean, it's like 1,000 bricks hitting you in the face because you've never had to face those things, not numbing them.
Yeah, because it's not just the bad you numbed, it's the good, it's everything in between. And so I think one of my early on entries was, you know, meeting my emotions. And it was like all the sudden floods of just new things, new fears, new anxieties, new triggers, new everything. Because as you open up to new things and you shed old things, like new things are revealed to you. And so you start letting go of things that don't work for you anymore. And you start just being above it. And it's not saying that you're above anyone else who is still using, but it's being above your own, you know, selfishness in that moment of like, I'm going to use instead of take care of myself. And so the only one you're really bettering is you. So as long as you're making that choice to be better than you the day before, then that's all that matters. And it's not going to happen overnight. Like, we did not get to the point of physical withdrawal from one night of using.
Our friend D, I'll keep his name anonymous, he pointed out something really cool when I said, I just try to be better than I was yesterday. And he was like, yeah, but what if you aren't? Then do you feel like you are letting yourself down? And that made me think about it for a second, because I kind of do that. I'm like, wait, I do that. Like, so when, like, I stay the same and I'm like, I'm not improving on a daily basis, mm-hmm. because sometimes we don't.
I had this conversation
today. To beat yourself up for not improving on a daily basis is not cool.
No.
But to be self-aware that you're not improving at all is a different story.
But there's also that idea of everything has its ebb and flow, and we cannot always be up, 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 up. You yes. have to relax. Just like there's seasons, and right now we're entering the season where the earth, like, takes a breath and hibernates, you know, in winter, and then in the spring it breathes and opens back up and comes back to life. And so everything has a cycle, and we can't always be improving. Like, even bodybuilders, everything, like, you reach plateaus, mm-hmm. and that's just part of the growth, you know. Everything is not up and up and up. You go back and you go down and you go sideways and you turn around. And as long as you're aware, like you said, and giving yourself grace in those moments that you don't necessarily meet your standards for that day. And it's not beating yourself up and ruminating in it, because that's when you fall into the relapse and the fuck it's, and the it's easier to just let go and start over. Mm-hmm. And so it's holding on to that hope and knowing that, yeah, today wasn't my best, but hey, yeah. I still brushed my teeth.
We're going to try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to try again tomorrow. And, like, that's another thing with, like we were talking about, the early stages of recovery and not knowing where your life is going to take you. Because when you first decide to stop drinking or stop doing something like heroin or meth or cocaine or even marijuana, if you want to, whatever you're trying to stop doing, like, your whole mindset has to change. Your goal on a daily basis completely changes. Like, your lifestyle, your work ethic, your...
So how do you get there, though? Because that's so overwhelming. So what were your tiny routines?
So I was getting to that point, because you don't even see those changes. Like, from the very beginning, you're, like, so hopeless that you don't even see how all of those things are going to spring and they're going to bloom into so many beautiful things that past what you could ever imagine. Yeah. Somebody told me once, they're like, somebody actually told my ex-boyfriend, imagine your life 5 years from now if you had stayed clean. And then you envision that, okay? But then now, imagine it like 10 times that. And like, that's where it's going to be. And in my mind, I really did that. I imagined my life 5 years if I had stayed clean and all the things that I could have accomplished. And I accomplished 10 times that in 4 years.
It's amazing. I had a similar revelation today, actually, when I was cleaning. It was, you know, 3 years ago. I'm about to be 33 next week, or in 5 days. And on my 30th birthday, yay!
Happy birthday,
thanks.
Shelby.
So on my 30th birthday, I just moved back from Key West, and I was miserable. And I went out and went snowboarding by myself that day and got real drunk. And then I went home and got Wendy's and ate a tab of acid and laid in bed and cried my eyes out and said, this is not what I want from life. And I knew I wasn't going to go anywhere doing what I did, but I kept doing what I did. And 2 weeks later, I got my fourth DUI. And that's when everything should have changed, but I dabbled a few more months thinking, you know, I could be, outdo it and be outsmart it. And then I surrendered. I gave in, I gave up. And I just said, you know what, nothing is ever going to compromise my mental health again. And I became a warrior for it. And it meant a lot of isolation. It meant a lot of loneliness and tears and questioning every motive and everything, you know. And it started with, like, brushing my teeth and walking my dog. And it snowballs, like you said. And then the next thing you know, you're good. And now 3 years later, I have, like, 3 business ventures started. And, like, doing what I've always dreamed, I didn't even know I could do, you know?
It's the routine.
That
you get yourself in, I swear, like, routine really, really helped me. And making my bed every day.
Yeah.
Brushing my teeth, like you said. Doing my laundry, like, on a weekly basis. Doing a real deep, good clean of my space every single week.
Yeah, that's important.
Little things like that. Putting lotion on my body every single time when I get out of the shower, taking a good bath, doing self-care. Like, if I get a paycheck, like, I'll do something for myself, whether or not it's, like, a manicure, a pedicure, or going to get cracked by the chiropractor, going to get a massage, going to get a facial, going to get my hair done and a haircut. Literally, I always do something for me every single 2 months, at least.
Yeah.
And that's, like, something that I work for my money. So, and I'm not putting it in my veins.
Yeah.
And so why not? So it's going to go towards me and my self-care and what I want to feed my soul with and what I want to do for myself. So, like, honestly, it's a justification because I'm not putting it into my body in a harmful way.
Yeah. Yep. I did that with my envelopes in early recovery with cash. I would split out every time I wanted to drink. I would put a 20 into an envelope. And so then at the end of the month, I had like $500 in it. And
oh my
I went
God.
And treated myself. Like,
yes.
So it adds
That's an amazing idea, you guys.
It adds up. Like,
if
put
anybody
a jar,
wants to start this challenge.
Yeah.
Every time you drink, put money into an envelope.
Or every time that you are staying, if you're sober and you're maintaining your sobriety, every time you want to drink, instead of going and buying a bottle, take that 20 and put it in an envelope. Or put it in a jar away from yourself where you can't, like, where you won't think about it. Well, you'll think about it, but...
Or even give it to a friend.
Yeah.
Give it to a friend to hold on to, somebody trustworthy. And then you're gonna, like, be blown away by the money that you have at the end of the month.
It's wild.
Wow, I never even, like, thought of something like that.
Yeah, when I was going through everything, I was, like, $30,000 in debt with my credit card and $2,000 a month payments just to debts, and I couldn't catch up, and so I ended up declaring bankruptcy and getting rid of credit cards, and I'll never get one again. And since then, I learned to use cash only and budget, strict budgets, and if I don't have it, I'm not getting it. And there's, like... You know, within a year and a half after declaring bankruptcy and having my own business, my own reported income at enough, like, I was able to get a new car. And so, like, you can turn your situation around so quick when they say, like, oh, bankruptcy destroys you. Like, no, I did. I rebuilt everything in a year and a half. Like,
absolutely.
It's short-term sacrifices that you have to make for a long-term picture. And that's how you have to keep thinking about it.
Recovery is the short-term sacrifices for a long-term picture. Because, like I said, you don't even see the hope in every aspect in your life that's going to get better. And you don't even, like, you don't even realize, I don't even know why and how miracles just keep happening. As soon as, like, you get clean and as soon as you have a positive outlook and you decide to turn your life around, like, so many good things just start happening.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Oh, God, it's weird. I used to never, ever, ever be happy, first of all. And then when I would get happy, I would get really scared that it was going to disappear so quick and I would just not
this
latch
on to
it.
Pattern of my life.
Yeah.
I'm always happy and it gets taken away.
And I'm like, so don't get excited. Don't hold on to this. Like,
don't
this
keep your hopes up, bitch.
Yeah. I never celebrated anything. Like, I never went to any of my graduations, really. Like, the one I was, my high school graduation, I was blacked out at. My college graduation, I didn't get even a cap and gown. I don't think I went. Like, I just never celebrated anything because I just thought, like, man, that was, like, expected, you know? And then when I started into my recovery and really, like, holy cow, I went out and I did that and I accomplished that. And I go and I, like, buy myself dinner and eat the dessert and I, like, treat myself, like, do something nice. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I did do that. And you start just realizing what you're capable of when you put your power to good.
I absolutely love taking myself out to a fancy lunch.
Yes.
Like, it's all about doing stuff like that for yourself.
When you buy flowers for yourself.
And I've never done that.
Oh, my God, you have to. I used to buy flowers for myself every week. I buy
plants for myself, but I've never bought flowers for myself.
In the first, like, year of my recovery, I bought the flowers every week. It's
just funny how, like, you will do things like that with yourself, with your money. But when you're in active addiction.
Yeah, there's not a chance.
Oh, God. I couldn't even, like. I went a long time without a tire on my car and just a donut because I couldn't afford a $35 used tire because I'd rather just, like, buy dope.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
And then the donut went flat and, like, it was all bad. Like, there's a lot of things like that that I would never have justified spending that much money on.
No.
And now I'm like, yeah, I work for my money. I'm going to do this for myself because it makes me feel good. And it's better than drugs.
Yeah. And when you get to that point, typically, it doesn't hurt your bank account anymore to do that. You're not sacrificing.
Not at
all. You realize all of a sudden that you're not just not spending money on drugs. You're not losing all that time on sleep. You're not spent, you know, like.
Or the time sacrificed doing the drugs.
Exactly.
Because for me, it was like from when I woke up to when I went to sleep 3 days later.
Yeah.
It was like hit the pipe every 15 minutes type of thing. That's why I have no front teeth. Like, literally, every 15 minutes. Like, that's 5 years, 10 years into meth. Like, can you imagine, like, how often you need it to keep staying at the point that you want to be? And still, that's not even getting you as high as you want to be.
Because
you'll never get enough.
Yeah.
Because one is too many and 1,000 is never enough.
And it's the same with booze for me. It was the second I woke up, my eyes opened. And typically there was some drink next to me from the night before. I'd finish that, you know, walk out, walk my dog somewhere, get back, take a few shots, and then go to work. And usually sneak some drinks at work and, you know, have some drinks on the way home.
I'd be on the floor after walking the dog point.
I'm taking
a few shots after walking the dog and be on the floor.
Well, it was like this cycle of, like, I'd get this great euphoria and all this energy and I'd feel revitalized and life was back in me. Like, I didn't know how to function without it. Like, I'm pretty sure that if my BAC was under a 0.1, I felt like shit. So I was just constantly drunk. And I would hit that, like, brownout phase and I would know to kind of cut back and kind of stay in the day. But then, like, towards the end of the night and I hit that fuck it point, it was like, blackout, here we come. You know, I could, like, take the shots.
So let's talk about this more in depth because, like, I've never been into alcohol as far as the point where, like, I need to drink more to feel okay the next day. So I would really like to know, like, how long did it take you to get to that point? And did you experience shakes? Like, how much did it take you to not experience those feelings?
Yeah.
And so, what would you experience if you didn't drink?
Yeah. So the first time I really, my attention was even in light, I don't know, the first time I was even aware of the fact of withdrawals and symptoms like that was I was 21, living in the Keys, and my best friend was drinking. And, you know, I was trying to help get her sober. And so she was staying at my apartment and she goes, I cannot drink. Like, she goes, I'll throw up if I don't drink. And that was beyond me. I didn't understand that. Like, what do you mean you'll throw up if you don't drink? You know, I thought people only throw up if they drink. And your body becomes so dependent on alcohol that if you get to a point that you've drank for so long that when you don't drink, you throw up. And so that's the worst part of alcohol withdrawals. Well, it gets worse than that, but that's one of the first initial signs that you've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, if you're throwing up the next morning and it's, like, yellow bile and, you know, if you go a few hours and all of a sudden you're shaky and you have cold flashes. And so withdrawal symptoms are very uncomfortable from alcohol. and you're irritable, your just mood is off the, I was an angry, angry person when I was coming down from booze. And so it was always like, it was easier to just go get a shot in me than wait that time period of having to puke for a day or two, and then experiencing the sweats and shakes for days. And I remember my first time when I went into rehab, I was 22. And at that point, when they checked me in, they put me on all kind of withdrawal medication, so I didn't feel the effects of it. So I don't know how bad I was at that point. But they did, when they did my blood screen when I came in, they were like, you're hot on everything across the board. The night before was Halloween. I went out to the pub up here, and I put everything in my body. And so when I left rehab that time, I was sober for 30 days. And I was like, I've got this under control. I'm totally fine. I think I stayed sober 90 days total that time, full relapse. And that's when I dove back into it head first. And that was, you know, within a week or two, I was back to 6 a.m. chugging vodka after 90 days sober. And it's just, it goes so quick and you have no control over it again. And then when I made it like a few months, I got into a bad snowboard accident, and we don't really know what happened, and alcohol was involved, but I woke up in the hospital with a tube down my throat and the whole deal, and I still don't know any of the details, but like not even 2 weeks after that, I tried to kill myself because I was at that point, had left rehab under the assumption that I was never going to be fixed because I was given antidepressants, all these anti-craving medications, everything under the sun. And I became more depressed, and then I became suicidal. And that's when I tried to kill myself. And I drank like a liter of whiskey, and I took a whole bottle of antidepressants, and I called my mom. It was like 3 a.m, the night before Mother's Day. It was some Mother's Day morning. And she came and picked me up and brought me to the hospital, and I blew a 0.6. And so that is death. That's brain, you know, I should be dead. I should have brain damage. I should not be here. And because she was there and got me, and I had left a suicide note, I got involuntarily committed to a rehab for 4 months. And in that time, there was a month waiting period to get a bed. And so I sat in a detox in Greeley, and I saw people come in daily, you know, in and out of this detox center because they'd get picked up by the cops and they're homeless or whatever, and they had nowhere to go. You couldn't go to the hospital, so they'd come in and they'd leave. And then, you know, over and over, I watched this for 30 days. And it's just it's terrible to see what our system does to people and to, like, put Band-Aids on everything and give them fines. And it's like they're already homeless. You know, they're in here because they need a free meal and a warm bed tonight. You know, it's November. It's freezing. And so it's just hard. It's hard to see people go through that. And now I see people go through the stages of withdrawals. And there's, like, different, you know, physical. They go from, like, physical abuse or, like, the abuse of the substance to dependence. And then on to, like, you are completely, you know, dependent on this chemical. And when you get to that point, you need to be medically detoxed from alcohol. It's one of the only drugs that you need medical detox or you will die. Like, you can't die.
Absolutely. Alcohol and Xanax.
Okay.
Barbiturates and alcohol are the only drugs that you can literally die from. Well, actually, I mean, heroin, opiates, you can have seizures and die.
Yeah.
That's one of the symptoms of withdrawal from heroin. So really you can die off of heroin, but it will be labeled as a seizure.
Yeah.
It won't be, you know,
cause of death.
Cause of death, yeah, is detox off of heroin. So when really when you see so many millions of people, you know, putting themselves through this and on the streets, and they feel like they have no other choice because they just don't want to feel this feeling of withdrawal. Really, that feeling that they're feeling isn't going to kill them.
Yeah.
It's just so bad that they know that as soon as they put something in their body, that feeling's going to go away.
It's over.
That pain's going to go away.
And then don't think about a pink elephant right now. Like, you get into the mindset of an addict, and all you start thinking about is that over and over and over. And so even if you could turn all that off and your mindset is still on seeking this drug, that's all you're going to think about. And so it's about changing your environment, stopping those thoughts, controlling those patterns, you know, in your head.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember even being, like, with my family and coming down, and all you can think about is using. Like, when am I going to get a chance to use? Like, when am I going to get a chance to go in the bathroom and do this shot? Just anything.
Yeah, you're not in any conversation. It's, you're no, just...
nothing is... You're not present whatsoever in the memories that you're creating. The only thing that you care about is when you can get that substance into your body. Yeah. And I've been there for years. Years. Where, like, the... I would never put myself into a situation where I wouldn't get high, where I couldn't get high. Like, if I didn't have drugs, I wouldn't go somewhere because I would be on the mission to get one, to get some.
Yep. And it happens super quick. Like, I spoke to on the other podcasts about, you know, people who get prescribed opiates and get addicted, and it's not because they want to be drug addicts, but that's what they're given for their option of pain. And instead of being given holistic options and those things being pushed as in chiropractic and yoga and acupuncture and taking care of your body and eating right, you can Google anything you want to make up your mind about something. And so even if you exercise, if you Google, is exercise bad for you, it'll say, 30 articles saying how exercise is bad for your health. And so we convince ourselves of these things, but if we root down into what speaks to us and that self-awareness we make in our body, so as we get sober and we're like, okay, I made it through this feeling again and I feel better. You know, how long did it take this time? How long did it take this time? And just keep track and just become your own science experiment, become your own study of self. Yeah. And figure out.
And actually being aware of the coping mechanisms that you use to get through those things. Because now looking back, I'm like, okay, journaling helped me a lot. Taking baths helped me a lot. Going for walks helped me a lot. A geographical change helped me a lot. Do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Like, no place is keeping you there. No job is keeping you there. Like, there are so many opportunities in this world and so many places that you could go and start completely over. Different people, places, and things. And it doesn't matter... sometimes we have to leave people, places, and things behind that aren't serving us in a positive way.
And what you just proved recently is that when timing's right and people take care of themselves, they can reconnect years later.
Oh my God, yeah. So I just got back in connection with somebody in my family that I hadn't talked to for 15 years because our lives just went separate ways. And... I'm actually kind of glad that we didn't have connection back then because I was a piece of shit. I was literally a piece of shit. And now, like, looking back, I can laugh at that. And knowing now that I have a good intentions in life and in a positive path.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that I can rebuild those relationships because I'm telling you, when I got that phone call, there was no better feeling knowing that I was about to build a relationship that had gotten destroyed strictly because of drugs.
Yeah.
And addiction.
When people make their mind up about you and you think there's no chance of reconciling it, it's wild what people are willing to look past when you prove yourself and you take the time. You can regain and rebuild relationships, and that's the biggest thing I've learned in my recovery is I've got my mom back. I never had a mom for the last few years because I refused to let her into my life. And I refused to, accept her because I was mad at her for a lot of things. But we're all human and we're all growing. And as I watch my parents grow older next to me, it's like this, holy cow, we don't have much time. And I already lost a brother and I don't want to lose a mom while she's still alive. And so if you can mend those relationships and fix yourself, because it was a lot of my responses to her,
Absolutely. Mine too. I feel like I have my whole family back. I wasn't a good role model to my brothers. I'm the oldest. And for them to watch me go through all the things that they had to watch me go through must have been painful. And I never really looked at it from their perspective. At the time, I was just going through my thing. I tried to just hide who I was and what I was doing and who I was becoming. But at the time, like, I never really looked at the pain that I was putting other people through. Now, looking back, I'm like, wow, I'm, like, so glad that I can actually show my face, proudly at family events, and I can pay the money to fly down there for a 3-day Christmas, and
yeah,
it's beautiful. Just amazing. It's amazing who the daughter who I always wanted to be for all of my parents, and the sister that I wanted to be.
And it's amazing what that pride in yourself does, you know, just finding that self-awareness, creating it and building on it, and then now having that moment of just, yes. Yeah. And it takes time, though, and you can't get discouraged in moments of weakness or even relapse. Like, keep going. You know, I think one of my favorite stories I heard in rehab was this story about a donkey, and he gets kicked down a well, and the people are just keep shoveling dirt down onto this donkey trying to bury him, and the donkey just keeps shaking it off and pounding it down and shaking it off and pounding it down. They're like, they're trying to bury him, and he ends up just stomping his way all the way out of the well. Yeah. And so it's like, even when you feel like there's just shit just getting kicked down on you, like, just keep standing up and rising to it and build your own way out.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's such a great little metaphor story.
It's like the only thing I remember from that place.
It's the only thing I remember from a $10,000 rehab.
Yeah, guys, that's all I remember. So it doesn't have to be, you guys, let's break down rehab real quick, too, because this is something that people ask me a lot, is what happens in rehab?
Yeah.
And it's been a few years since I've been there, so I can only speak to my experiences, but in three different places that I was in. It's a very, you know, structured environment. It's tailored to routine. It's, you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you shower, you make your bed, you clean your room, you have breakfast with the community, you go off and you have some kind of group therapy, and then you have lunch together. And then after that, it's some other kind of group therapy, some kind of form of activity, some kind of journaling or meditation or whatever. And then you come back and have dinner and same thing. And you do this day in and day out. And so really, you know, you can create your own environment like this. Fill your time with podcasts, self-help podcasts. We have a whole list on our website that we like. Get an app to track your progress, some that are already out there that'll tell you, you know, how your mood has improved, how your sleep has improved, your diet, everything.
So I like the I Am Sober app. It literally lets you enter the amount of money you would have spent per day. And so I have the I Am Sober app, and I've been tracking it the entire time. To be honest with you, I look at this number almost on a daily basis, and it's been over 1,500 days. Let's see. It has been 1,552 days and since I've been sober from meth. So that's 4 years, 3 months. And it lets you enter the amount of money. So I've saved $155,200. Not that I have that money in the bank,
yeah,
but that's the amount of money that I would have put into my body.
Yeah.
That's the amount of meth.
Yeah. Think that about I would that have put. Organ damage.
No, I actually look at that because, like, I know how much meth that is, and it's probably around a 100-gallon fish tank full. So that's how much meth I would have put into my body if I was still alive.
Yeah.
If I would have made it that long.
Yeah.
So I recommend everybody getting an I Am Sober app. You can actually put a reason why you are staying sober, a picture, a before and after picture. My reason for staying sober is I love life. And so, yeah, it's really great. And like Shelby said before, the 3 meals a day at rehab, I feel like nutrition is huge. When you first get clean, it doesn't matter what you're getting clean or sober from, the 3 meals a day is big. Getting your fruits and veggies in and actually having a balanced meal, that is really big for your mental health, for your routine, and for your body, because your body is trying to recover from years of damage, months of damage, maybe even a couple of days. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, but 3 meals a day is so important.
Nutrition is everything. I mean, environment, all of it. So we get it. It's hard to do it on your own, and so we just want to be that sober support for you guys. We want to be able to
you know, be that friend that you call at 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. when you can't sleep and you don't know what to do, or, you know, you just need to swing by and have a chat for a moment, or go for a walk with somebody, or, you know, it doesn't matter. We'll be there. Hugs are free.
So we're located at 401 Zurich Street in Fraser. We're right in between Fisher's Bar and Ace Hardware, and we are having all kinds of fun events this month for December.
We're so excited.
We're going snowshoeing on Jim Creek Trail and the Serenity Trail December 7th and December 21st, I believe.
Yeah, something.
And then we're also building kits for the homeless on December 11th. So if you live in Grand County, and if you have anything that you would like to give down to the homeless women and men in Denver, coats, jackets, long johns, flashlights, warm underwear, socks.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to give. Letters of encouragement, you can drop them off in our little mailbox that we have outside of our wellness center. And if you want to send anything off in them of value, you can just let us know, and we can take those letters by hand. We're going to be putting those letters in the kits and bringing them down by hand. Because I feel like when we donate to charities, we don't know where those donations go.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
We're actually going to do this.
Yeah. We heard yesterday from Grandma Miller. She's going to come on board with us and allow us access to her cabins to throw some, like, healing retreat nights or whatever we want to do. So that's going to be coming at you soon here, too. And then she said something similar about, like, we are going to raise donations and we want to give them to you because we see where it's going and we see what you're doing. So, you know, if you want to see or be a part of this change and this movement, let us know. We're getting our nonprofit rolling. We're doing interviews now with board members. We already have a bunch lined up. So we're getting things rolling. And this is just such a cool opportunity to build something new and get on board. And then our Secret Santa Swap, too.
Secret Santa Swap and a bunch of art stuff going on this month. We're going to be making a bunch of Christmas arts and crafts every single Monday while listening to, we changed that. No. Art and Audio Soul Monday.
Yeah. No, Wednesday.
Every single Monday is art and audio.
Yeah. And Wednesdays we changed. We were going to close it, but we had a lot of people request Wednesdays open. So we had an idea to open it to community members who want to hold that space, because Steph and I work too much and do too much. We can't be there every night. But we want to leave it open to you guys. And you've asked, and we want to receive. So
yeah. Wednesdays are typically our regroup days because we need one day to ourselves. Like, you can't even give unless your cup is full. And, like, we already know that.
Yeah.
So we would love to always be there, but we wouldn't have nothing to give.
It's how we balance.
Unless we took a day for ourselves.
Yeah. Exactly. So self-care, we have to practice what we preach. So,
yeah,
and exactly. We have people who understand and respect that, and they love TAME and want to see it open. So we're so thankful for people who are sharing in this vision and dream, because it is for everybody.
People that are volunteering to be there for us when we are not.
Yeah.
That is amazing. That's powerful. And so we just want to thank Grand County. We also want to thank everybody that donated to us for our Thanksgiving, for any of the donations that we've received in the past month or any time.
Look at GoFundMe.
It has been awesome. You guys have helped us so much. You have no idea how warm you have made our hearts.
We're inspired for Christmas.
Yeah. We're ready to go.
Last thing, we got a Christmas tree from Grandma Miller's too. So that's out front. If you want to come and throw a decoration on it, bring a decoration down, or come in and paint one of ours and hang it up there.
Yeah.
But spread that holiday cheer with us. We do need a tree stand. We'll find one tomorrow, but
I hope everybody has a wonderful night. And if you haven't checked out our website, again, it's www.tamegrandcounty.org.
And send us a message. We're always here. Holidays can get hard and triggering and bring up some rough stuff. So reach out. We're here. We'll meet you where you're at, or a restaurant, or TAME, or go for a walk.
Absolutely. Love, Stephanie.
Love you guys.
Bye.